Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Know him. They had just acquired him a couple months ago. You know, I haven't seen him on the field, but there was a lot of hope that he was going to be a cornerback who's similar to the kind of cornerbacks who worked in their Legion of Boom era. And they haven't had a fantastic offseason in terms of acquiring big names. So there was a lot of hope that this acquisition could be one of those underrated acquisitions that really helped them. So people are really upset, and they're kind of wondering if this guy's not going to be able to play this year, or if he's going to be suspended or whatever, or go to jail, what does that mean as far as what we're trying to build? Because he was going to be a significant piece to their puzzle, and their secondary needs to get much, much better. So, everyone's still trying to figure out exactly what it means in the big picture. But in terms of an acquisition that a lot of people liked or at least were intrigued by, now all of a sudden there's a significant amount of anger. And if he is able to get onto the field this year, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny of him.
For sure. Yeah. Well, listen, Jerry, we appreciate your time. I enjoy reading you in the Washington Post. Keep up the good work and stay safe out there.
All right. Take care, man.
All right. Jerry Brewer from the Washington Post. I don't know, Brad, if that means that when reporters now do Zoom calls with the, before we sign off, any arrests or anything like that, you need to clear it off. Like that to me, and we'll get into this in the rundown. That to me is the most disturbing. Well, maybe not the most disturbing part.
Pathologic.
I think the robbery and then telling someone to shoot somebody, that's most disturbing. But the pathological aspect to it, to where the next day you're talking to reporters, so like you don't know who's heard what or what. You know what I mean? And you're just chilling and. Well, we'll get into it in the rundown.
Let's talk about it next. I'll talk about it. When I read the story, I had to read it four times and then watch the video. And I just couldn't. I was trying to understand what was going on there with him saying that, and then putting the story, it didn't jive.
Strange. It's like, I don't want to say it's Hannibal Lecter kind of psychotic.
That's next level.
But
like,
I mean, we're
psychosis.
Moving in a direction. Well, maybe not, eating people and stuff like that, but you get my drift.
NFL was doing good for a while, and then yesterday two rough stories.
Yeah, and we got an update to another one that involved, did a coach pay a player for an illegal hit? We'll get into all that and little Penny Hardaway stories, all the smoke that's coming up. When we return on the Jason and John Show, Matt Stark, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, 92.9 FM, ESPN is Memphis and the Mid-South station you can count on. Live on the radio.com free app.
Germantown Hardware and Paint is where you can take care of everything grilling this summer. They're a Big Green Egg Platinum Authorized dealer. No one in the city has more Big Green Egg accessories, merchandise, everything than Germantown Hardware and Paints.
Yep, love our Big Green Eggs from Germantown Hardware and Paints, but that's not all they do when it comes to grills. They're the largest dealer of Weber grills in the Mid-South. They've also got the Traeger wood pellet grills. They're Germantown Hardware and Paints at the corner of Germantown Road and Poplar and at germantownhardware.com.
America is a great big country.
Filled with all kinds of different people.
And we all count.
That's why the 2020 Census
wants to make sure we're all counted.
Why is it so important?
Because the census helps inform how hundreds of billions of dollars will be spent each year for things like
new roads,
health clinics,
even more school programs.
So make sure you're counted.
Because you count. Shape your future. Start here. Complete the census at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
More than ever, we need to laugh.
Good thing the Radio.com app brings the funny.
Say, man, you left your lights on.
On Radio.com, you can listen to your favorite hometown morning show wherever you are. Or nonstop stand-up on the Comedy Now channel. And hilarious podcasts like Curious with Josh Peck and ID10T with Chris Hardwick. All available 24-7 and all just a click away. So come on, lighten up and laugh a little. Or a lot. Radio.com. On your desktop or download the free app now.
When you go to the mechanic in here...
Pass me the torque wrench. Nope, let me have the flamethrower.
That sounds wrong. You know what else sounds wrong? When you hear about the interest you're earning on your savings with the largest banks. But with a Marcus by Goldman Sachs online savings account, you could earn much more interest. And hear this. Open a Marcus by Goldman Sachs online savings account in minutes at Marcus.com. You can money.
Comparison made to the three largest U.S. banks measured by total deposits. Rates as of February 4th, 2020 and may vary by state. Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC.
An auto policy from State Farm gets you collision coverage. And this radio ad from State Farm gets you coverage of this beloved 90s hit.
I hit a car. I hit a car. Ooh, baby. It's gonna be okay. My agent's gonna help me.
For more coverage, visit statefarm.com.
Stay home. Stay calm. Stay connected. Stay active. Take deep breaths. Call your friends. Dance to a jam. We're all keeping our distance, but we are in this together. For more information on how to take care of yourself and others, go to imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
I know this is Dave Matthews.
I'm trying to play to the crowd. You're like, I don't know. What's that new edition song? Let me play some of his crap.
You know what?
Let me guess one that he'll know.
I'm not a Dave Matthews fan, but
you strike me as a Dave Matthews fan.
No, not
to talk about the music, but
no.
after the quiz on the Ralph Tresvant, I'm like, screw this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go straight on for the hits. Are you a classic rock guy? You're probably like
I am.
Okay.
Yep. I have a wide range, though.
I'll go
throw
that direction.
Beastie Boys
go
in there.
Oh, wow.
Jimmy Buffett.
Nice. Jimmy would feel good today. Dropkick Murphy.
Jimmy Buffett would always feels good.
That's
he
true.
Makes you feel good.
Yes, he does, especially when you drink to his music.
Yes, he does. Yeah. And we are feeling good today.
Yeah, it's good. It's Friday.
Matt Stark in studio, Brad Carson across the glass, Jason and John, well-deserved day off today.
Yeah.
And we've passed the noon hour, which means it's time for the rundown.
Now, it's the rundown. The biggest stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, we're waiting for a decision today from Memphis basketball target DeAndre Williams. The Evansville transfer expected to announce his decision sometime today. Initially, I thought it was sometime around 3 o'clock, so that would be during the Giannotto and Jeffrey show. He's a 6'9", skilled four, can handle the rock, shoot it, distribute. This is all what I've been told.
Sure.
We'll get more on him from John
Sounds
Martin
good.
At 12:45. I watched like 20 seconds of his YouTube clips. Look good, man.
He looks athletic,
and that's all I care about.
He
looks like he could help.
He looks good.
He looks like a baller. and if Kentucky was in on him, I like him.
They beat Kentucky with him.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like he's coming to Memphis.
I mean, it does.
You never know in recruiting.
I mean, everybody seems giddy, and I generally take that as he's going to come here. But what we've been running into is this buzzsaw of he's coming here, but he's not going to be able to play.
Yeah. Well, that's the other question. And he does have a wildly interesting backstory. Yeah. And we'll get into that with John Martin at 12:45. Penny Hardaway, meanwhile, as we talked about, was a guest on the All the Smoke podcast with former NBA players Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, as we agreed, two of the realest dudes you will ever meet. Like, you're going to get into it, and I'm not just talking NBA players, like on the planet. Like, these are two guys that you probably want in your corner.
I have decided I love Matt Barnes.
I like him.
I like listening to Matt Barnes. I find him to be dead straightforward, man.
Obviously, as a Grizzlies fan and someone that wanted him to do well, I disliked him when he was against the Grizzlies. Yeah. So I had a preconceived notion when he came here. But then the first time that we got to interview him, it's like, this dude's awesome.
He's great.
Like, he is fantastic.
Now, I'm sure there is a side of him that I wouldn't want to see.
Oh, you mean the side? Do you remember his first year here when the Grizzlies were playing in L.A. and they landed and he got off the plane and he was at, I mean, I'm blowing it out a little bit. He beat the hell out of Derek Fisher, who was then the L.A. Lakers head coach.
I forgot about
like
the Derek Fisher run.
Like, he fought a head coach and he beat him up.
It was the ex-wife, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, ex-wife, and there's a whole story. And when I was looking for the podcast, Matt Barnes has clips on there. He talks about the whole thing. So I'll let Matt, if you're interested,
go Google that.
Go check it out. I mean, it was a wild
the
story.
The podcast is good.
I mean, originally the thought was the Grizzlies landed, Matt Barnes jumped in a car and drove 75 miles to go beat the hell out of Derek Fisher.
That was what everybody thought.
And that wasn't exactly how it was. Apparently, he lived relatively
close.
That story was way better than the reality. But the reality is he still put his hands on Fisher. And of course, Steven Jackson was one of the first players who went into the stands throwing hands in defense of Ron Artest during Malice in the Palace. I looked that up again this morning, and I could still hear Mike Breen at that time. The shock, obviously. But Artest is in the stands!
Yeah. That's why social distancing.
This is awful!
That would be great for those dudes, because they wouldn't have to worry about it.
Man.
You go in the stands, there's nobody there to fight.
Well, as a player might say, well, there's no one there calling me terrible names either.
Well, that does happen. You know? We've seen it.
Like, nobody's throwing beers at me.
Westbrook, I'm not saying that Westbrook made up the stuff, because all the reports are that some of those people were saying bad stuff about Russell Westbrook, the Utah story.
Yep.
So I'm not disputing that. I do wonder sometimes, because you hear it probably a lot of bad stuff, that you just assume people are saying bad stuff sometimes, you know. But, that does remove that component of it, walking onto the court. Like, you don't have to hear blasphemy.
Yeah. All that, and that goes without saying that you're getting cursed at. But when you start to...
You suck!
You hear all kinds of stuff. There's no doubt about it. And honestly... Like, I feel these players probably have a lot more restraint than I could ever have.
I think you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they probably are using more restraint than we think they are.
Yeah.
The podcast with Steven
Jackson
is good.
They are an interesting 1-2 combo. Matt Barnes is terrific. He's a really good interview. Apparently, they didn't know, from what I understand, that Penny was coming on until a few hours before. So it's not like he had all kinds of prep time. And it was just off the cuff, three of them on the Zoom call. Now, there wasn't a ton of Tiger talk. It was mostly on Penny's NBA career. But I think we do have the clip when they talked about the Tigers. And then Penny was asked about the NCAA and James Wiseman case. And is this a clip we have?
Yeah, and one thing to add to that, if you're listening on FM, I'll delay it because Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes take some liberties with the vocals. So I'll edit it for our AM, FM, FCC listeners.
Excellent.
If you're on the radio.com app, which all indications are people are listening a lot on that app, you will hear
wonderful.
You'll hear the guts of it.
Apologies in advance.
As is.
Absolutely. Talk to us a little bit about Luka, jumping straight to the league. But talk to us a little bit about that process, because that kid was a monster from the beginning. You got a little taste of him. I'm sure you got to see a lot in practice, and then the NCAA suspends him over some bullshit.
Yeah, crushing, because James is just pretty much an innocent bystander. There was nothing malicious with that happened, but obviously they can paint any picture however they want to paint it. And for that kid to have to sit out 12 games was devastating. Obviously, he fought it, went and got a restraining order from the courts to be able to fight the first three games until they kind of gave him what his ruling was going to be. And, you know, they actually pushed him out of college. I don't think that's what I don't think that's what it should be about. I don't think you put kids in a position to try to choose whether to stay in school or leave school while they're already there, because you're doing things unfairly. And I'll just stand on that. But I had his back 100%, and when he left, man, it crushed me, because I knew that he needed to be there. He wanted to be there, but it was just too overwhelming with what happened with the NCAA, man.
And I know you can't speak on it because you worked somewhat, you know, closely with the NCAA being a coach, but, you know, from an outside look in, I just think they're destroying college sports, you know, with the way they're making so much money off these kids, barely giving them anything back. They're starting to try to make them pay a little bit here and there, but just really making it unfair. And now you're seeing kids make that jump. You know, kids are going straight to the G League now. Kids are going overseas now. They're avoiding college. And, you know, to me, college was the best time of my life. Outside of having children, I was blessed to play, you know, 14 years in the NBA, but college was a blast for me. Kids, they're outdated, slave mentality rules.
I'll just.
I actually enjoy listening to Matt Barnes talk about the NCAA.
He's got some thoughts, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he is right. These kids, the college experience is important, and that does suck that they're going to miss that. They get thrust right into this, especially if you go to G League.
We talked about it yesterday. I mean, these kids, let's be honest, like, they want to play basketball.
Yeah.
They want to get better, and they want to go to the NBA, and they want to make millions of dollars. When you're making it easier for them or giving them more incentive to skip the college process, right, then a lot of them are going to do that.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, you see that dollar sign, you got to go.
No doubt. I was interested.
What did you think of the Wiseman discussion and Penny talking about it so openly? I was surprised he said as much as he did say.
I was too. I think that's one of those.
Really surprised.
You laugh. You're like, man, I'll let you guys,
I can't really talk about it. Stuff going on.
I'm not getting into it. We love James. Yeah. I had his back. And stay away maybe from, man, they could paint that picture any way they want to paint it.
Like,
I'm just, like, I don't know anything about this new process that they're going through, right? I don't know.
I don't either.
How they're taking information.
They
I'm not saying they're going to be breaking down a transcript of a random podcast.
Right.
But, like, don't poke the bear.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, less is more, my opinion.
No, again, I think I agree.
I'm not Penny Hardaway, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, on a podcast like that, they're going to say as much for you. Like, when
sure.
you get, Matt's going to just zap it. And,
yeah.
You know? I know you
but
can't.
Then, but then you can just sit there and laugh it off and, like, you'd be like, hey, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Well,
so, I don't know.
The other side of it, I will say for Penny, is Penny comes off so amazing on these podcasts.
Oh, he's
and
great.
Because he's doing several of them now. He did a great job on Gary's show the other day. Like Jordan, when I watched the Bulls documentary, I like Penny every time more when I hear him on these things.
100%. So it's All the Smoke is the name of the podcast.
That's on radio.com.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I found it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It's an hour and 16 minutes, and it's fun stuff. They
it's
talk
good.
A lot about Penny's NBA career, his current routine that he's doing. He had a funny story about Kobe in there as well.
Yeah.
That, if we have time for it, Kobe apparently came up to I can summarize it, and they can
go
find it.
Yep.
Kobe, I can't spit it out. I'm so excited to get this story.
That's right, because he was still in the league and Kobe first
Kobe
came
was in.
In
high school at the
right.
time.
Yeah.
Penny is already on the way to being Penny and a superstar. Kobe comes up to him after the game in Philly when they're playing out there.
Okay.
He's like, hey, man, should I go to the NBA? Penny had no idea who Kobe was. None. So Penny
That's
tells
insane.
Him, he's like, no, man, I think you should probably go to college. And then Kobe follows it up with, well, they're telling me I could be lottery. And then Penny's like, oh, maybe this is somebody I should know. And he's like, oh, well, then you should go then. But, like, that, he didn't know anything about Kobe.
That's so crazy.
He says how Kobe then, he runs into him a couple years later at this Magic Johnson celebrity tournament in the offseason. Kobe had now been in the league for a year or two years. Kobe remembered it and, like, wants the ball. It comes right at him. And Penny's like, man, he didn't forget about that. So it's funny. Like, there's some really good, insightful stories in there. And as you said, much in line with the Jordan documentary, like, when Penny's doing these podcasts, man, he's fun to listen to. And you know, you get a sense of, too, of the respect that, man, Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes have and, you know, and how that still carries over and carries weight today. So that's a fun podcast, an hour and 16 minutes long. You know, check it out. If you have time.
Next story.
So we have NASCAR. Do you want to go into the NASCAR story?
Sure.
It's at Darlington this weekend, and I watched a little bit on the actual race, and we could talk about some of the side stories that you and I were texting back and forth, whether it's Ryan Newman or how they're going to announce this thing or some of the rules. But it's going to be interesting because you're going to have people watching racing probably at higher levels than you normally would, because this is the first sports interaction we're getting outside of UFC. So far, if it's my count is correct here, we've had UFC, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So UFC was really the first to come back.
Yep.
You know, you've had this Korean baseball, but that doesn't seem to have taken hold.
No.
The Jordan.
I think they play at like 3 a.m, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, and I haven't sought it out. We were talking about this with my kids.
And they replay some of the games.
We were talking about it last night. My wife's like, well, you're a baseball fan. And my kids are like, why wouldn't you want to watch? I'm like, I just don't know any of the players.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like I can get into watching the Yankees play the Mets because I'll just hate on the Yankees the whole game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
you don't know any.
I don't know
the rooting
interest. Yeah, I have no idea what's happening.
Do you think that's an important part of the baseball thing? Is, you know, the allegiances? Like,
for sure.
That's what's missing. See, I'm one of these. I have to have a little bit of rooting interest, but not much. Like, yeah. I can watch a good Little League game if I got a little skin in the game.
Yeah. So for Little League World Series, like, I will pull for if there's
the U.S.
a
team.
You know, a team from Tennessee, pulling for them. Team from New England, so New England small states, you know, I'll find one and I'll pull for them. You have some connection to something, and you're going to be able to you know, at least I am, able to work up a little, you know, rooting interest or interest in it. But so, like, sorry, South Korea, you know, baseball, it's not happening for us. NASCAR, I'm interested to see what the ratings are like because, to be honest, at this point, you're either a NASCAR fan or you're not.
Yep.
I don't think that random Joe who's listening right now is like, well, hell, I'll give it a shot. You know,
it's Have you ever been to a NASCAR race?
Oh, yeah. So I worked in Richmond for 3 years.
Oh, well,
so,
of course,
we had two races a year. Yeah. And I will tell you, so my first TV job was in West Virginia.
Yep.
And, you know, big NASCAR country.
Sure.
We didn't have any tracks there, but the drivers would come through town all the time doing their stops at, you know, the, you know, Bobby Joe Chevrolet, and they'd sign autographs. You'd go out there and talk to them. Richmond, obviously, coming through twice a year.
Yeah.
Got to interview Dale Earnhardt one day. Dude. Let me tell you what, when he turned and looked at me and I see my reflection as I'm asking him a question, I'm like, dude, I'm asking Dale Earnhardt a question. Like, this is pretty cool. Like, this is iconic.
And that part of the world, he's the Michael Jordan of the South for a lot of
people. And he was fantastic. Like, I was scared out of my mind. I don't even know what the hell I asked
him.
He gave a great answer.
Super chill.
He was very cool.
Yeah.
Yes, I think it's one of those sports to me, like the NHL. You go to it. You get a very different sense, and maybe you're a fan as opposed to just watching on TV. NHL's gotten way better on television. HD is just and NASCAR is fun to watch on TV for me when you factor in the speed and the sound, and they do a good job of capturing that. But when you're at a race, you really feel all of that. It's the power. It's the speed. It's the sound. But I don't necessarily know that just because it's back that it's going to pull in
I think that's true.
Bigger numbers than it ever has.
I want to talk to you about Ryan Newman, too.
Oh, man.
Here are some of the rules, new rules. No fans. Team roster is 16 people. That includes the driver and the whole, like, tire-changing staff.
Pit crew,
16 people.
Tire-changing staff.
By the way, 16 people, that's low.
Yeah.
These people usually are rolling with about 50-plus because you've usually got – there's probably 20 people on the ground. There's probably another 20 back at the truck.
Yep.
You've got tech. I worked for NASCAR in Las Vegas about 20 years ago when they first started the Las Vegas race in PR, you know, and I was the idiot who was at the next to the podium will be Jeff Gordon.
You know,
I was that guy.
I got you.
And I'd set the water up.
You got a good voice for it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, it was very much an easy job because you just put the sheets out for the media staff. Here's the sheets. You'd have the table at the front at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Ladies and gentlemen, next to the podium will be Jeff Gordon. Jeff has 10 minutes to talk. We're going to start.
That's exactly what they say.
Jeff Gordon will be first. Matt Stark from Fox, you will be first to ask Jeff Gordon a question. Matt, go ahead, please.
That's how it happens.
Please state your affiliation first, and then so we did that. But so it was an interesting thing. I will tell you, I became a fan of NASCAR that first race I was at in Las Vegas because I initially was an IndyCar fan, which is super fast,
you know,
220 miles an hour.
Very different.
Going to Indianapolis every year. But I've been to all these different races, and in person it's amazing. I just don't think it's the same on TV. I did watch Daytona. But I think it's going to be different with no fans. Sure, you know, the amount of crew will not make a big difference, I don't think, to most fans.
No.
There's going to be a bunch of people with masks on. No motorhomes, which, you know, over-the-wall pit crew, they have the face screens. I don't think that on TV we'll notice too much difference outside of there's nobody in the stands.
Yeah, I don't think so. It'll be like when you're watching, so this is how big NASCAR was in Richmond. We would show highlights from qualifying, like Friday evenings, whatever.
Yeah, you cover
you're
the
like,
whole
hey,
thing.
Here's Gordon ripping around. He made a hot lap of, you know, 162. He's starting third tomorrow. Yeah. And like, so you're like, and you're used to.
You want to know who's on the pole.
Largely empty stands and stuff
sure.
like that. I don't think it'll matter. They'll be creative enough. Like, they'll still go overhead. And I mean, you're looking for the pack of the cars. And then, like I said, the speed of it going by. So, but it'll be interesting. But yeah, the Ryan Newman thing. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well,
next
let's
story.
Let's talk about Ryan Newman. Yeah. If you want to, I you saw it first, and then you texted me. You're like, you got to watch Ryan Newman's interview because, of course, Ryan Newman. If you were watching Daytona, that wreck he was in was wild.
A horrific crash. 19-year NASCAR veteran. He walked out of the hospital, which is a testament to the safety measures that NASCAR underwent ever since, unfortunately, the death of Dale Earnhardt back in 2001. Senior, thank you. And Newman was able to walk away, and everyone's like, how is this guy alive? How is he walking out of the hospital? They were showing, you know, clips on social media the next day of him, you know, sitting up and everything. You're like, this is unbelievable. Well, it was a lot scarier than people realize, and I think...
Most people who are NASCAR fans that I saw on Twitter thought that he had probably died in that wreck. When you see it live, it was brutal. I watched it. It was like, how do you live?
And so the things that you look for is movement in the cockpit, right? Like usually the driver will immediately, the first thing they're supposed to do is start taking down the window thing. So at least there's movement. Yeah. There was no movement.
Nothing.
And there was a fire on the back right tire. And the way his car was, like, you know, there's heat pouring in there. But I agree. I thought we were looking at another situation and we're going to have a death on the track. Thankfully, that wasn't the case. He was, however, put into a medically induced coma from what he's been told. He doesn't remember anything from the incident until he walked out of the hospital. Not, like, anything in the hospital, when he walked out. Now, I understand some of the stuff that they'll have you on, some of the drugs.
Yeah, that's
part of it, is, you know, they're trying to...
Memory,
you know,
erasers in some respects.
But my goodness, and when the details, like if you're into it...
And he did watch the thing, right? He went back and watched it?
Oh, yeah. And he talked about it in the story. Yeah. They're everywhere. This one's on USA Today. Sports Illustrated had one. He talked to, just matter-of-factly, like, when I was in the car, I think Randy LaJoy's bumper hit me. Like, not hit my car, like, hit me. Like, his helmet was dented. And they couldn't quite figure that out. But this was, and you and I were talking about, he's 42. And I understand how differently wired race car drivers are from that level to NHRA when they used to come to town. Clay Milliken, a local Memphian running that track, so successful. John Force, they're a different breed.
Oh, John Force, when he talks about racing, it's like seeing somebody from outer space.
They're a different breed. But like if I'm in a medically induced coma, I'm thinking really hard about going back to work. You know what I mean? Like,
because
you know, and particularly a track like Darlington that you're going to, I think I'm going to take a hard pass.
I'll watch this race. I think it'll be – it's good to have more sports, though, in general.
It's
going to
be raining, so, if I'm looking for something to do while I'm waiting for The Last Dance to come back on, you know, I'll chuck it on.
Yeah.
All right. We are getting ready to – we're going to talk some NFL. Speaking of what's coming on, Elliot Shore, Parks from Radio.com. Got a lot to talk about, including that wild story, arrest of two players – or arrest warrant for two players for armed robbery, not your normal offseason. We'll talk to Elliot Shore, Parks, next.
ECS, Trezvant, Whitehaven, Harding, Arlington, SBA. It's the 92.9 FM ESPN Senior Athlete Salute. For senior athletes whose season was cut short, give us your senior athlete, your son or your daughter, or if you're a senior who had your season cut short, give us your info, and we want to salute you at 929ESPN.com.
It's the 92.9 FM ESPN Mid-South Senior Athlete Salute from 92.9 FM ESPN, helping the Mid-South stay connected.
Black Tie Movement, if it's time to move, like I know it is for a lot of you because, you know, school's been out, but now it's officially out, and this is probably the time where you'd plan on moving. Summer is just around the corner. Do it with the folks at Black Tie Movement. Trust me, yes, you can call your friends, and you can offer them pizza and beer, but you don't want to do that. They don't know what they're doing, but the good folks at Black Tie Movement, they know what they are doing. 901-329-8490 is the number. They're who I used. And they're who I recommend. Why? They're professional. They're on time. And everything goes where it needs to go. And it doesn't get scratched up. Nothing gets broken. And that's what you are looking for, honestly, when you enlist a moving company. So go with the good folks at Black Tie Moving. Again, the number is 901-329-8490. Book your move today because spots are booking up fast. They're changing moving in the city of Memphis. Black Tie Moving. Call today.
In normal times, now would be a season of celebration. Well, at the Tennessee Lottery, we think it still should be. That's why we're proud to celebrate the hard work and success of this year's graduates. While your year was cut short, make no mistake, what you've accomplished will be remembered and admired for many years to come. Congratulations, class of 2020. You are truly one of a kind. The Tennessee Education Lottery, game-changing, graduate-celebrating fun.
Did you know the Tennessee Lottery has raised $5 billion for education? Oh, sorry, I said $5 billion. That can't be right.
It's true. In fact, the Tennessee Lottery has raised over $5 billion for education. It's impacted the entire state.
Really? So you could say the Tennessee Lottery is not only changing the state, it's changing lives.
Well, actually, I do say that. The Tennessee Education Lottery. It's game-changing, life-changing fun.
I had cancer for the fourth time.
I have bipolar disorder.
I was hit by a car.
I have a rare disease.
I have Down syndrome.
Children's health care in the United States is severely underfunded.
We can't wait while the debate over a funding solution continues.
Kids can't wait. Give to the Children's Hospital's COVID-19 Impact Fund. Text CHILD to 51555. CHILD to 51555.
The sports seasons may be on hold right now, but team front offices are busy. And Radio.com has the biggest sports stations in the country, covering your favorite teams and sports. Stay up on the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NHL, NBA, and more. All the trades, player and coach interviews, and everything you need to know. Binge your favorite podcasts from the top personalities in sports. Stay connected to the teams and sports you love so you're ready when they come back. Listen on Radio.com or the Radio.com app.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
Take me around the world and back again.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
If we're going to continue with the Guess the Music out of the break, I have no idea who this is, Brad.
No idea.
Oh, you don't know either?
No. I should know the material.
Yeah.
Again, it's their show. I just play the hits.
Okay. I didn't know if we were still, like, kind of doing, like, the roulette roll of...
I forgot your song.
Yes. That we previously discussed. Little Dropkick Murphy, some Jimmy Buffett.
Shazam. Hold on.
Throw some U2 in there. Like, right. Whatever.
Yeah.
We got time to get it straight. We're moving on now, talking some NFL with our NFL insider, Elliot Shore. Parks Insider Calls are brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Pod Friends podcast series, available on radio.com/Dell. Elliot, how are you? How are things in Philly?
Doing good. Well, I guess I should say as good as possible, considering everything that's going on, but I'm excited to talk football with you.
Yeah, no doubt. And for this segment, we're going to put aside everything that may be happening, and we have no idea when the actual NFL season is going to start, but we'll just deal with stuff that's happening or will be happening on the field. And off the field, wild story last night out of Miami. I'm sure you saw this, a warrant to arrest issued for DeAndre Baker of the Giants and Quentin Dunbar of the Seahawks. Wanted for armed robbery with a firearm, with charges stemming from an incident that happened on Wednesday. Dunbar then went on and met with the media on Thursday. To your knowledge, Elliot, you ever interviewed anybody that a day earlier had committed armed robbery? Allegedly.
Not to my knowledge.
Allegedly, no. I should say.
Allegedly, we should say. No, I mean, look, it's an absolutely wild story. The fact that he met with the media, and I believe he had quotes about how he wanted the Seahawks to kind of trust him as a person and
yes.
That type of stuff. It's pretty wild. I mean, if you're a head coach or a general manager or an owner of a team right now, you have to feel like, you know, of all the off seasons, this is one where you feel like your guys won't get in trouble. I mean, you know, almost everywhere they're not allowed to leave the house. So the fact that this happened, obviously it's not good for the Giants. It's not good for either player. But when it comes to DeAndre Baker, this isn't the first time. I mean, last year there were reports that he fell asleep in team meetings 9 games into the season. You know, he said he didn't really know the playbook. He had a bit of character concerns coming out. So, obviously not great on a number of levels, but maybe shouldn't be overly surprising when it comes to Baker.
If you're in the Seahawks front office, who catches more hell for just trading for Quentin Dunbar? Is it the president? Is the GM? I mean, somebody right now is like, why did we, like, they're dragged into this and they just signed the guy, like 2 or 3 months ago?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, certainly. Look, I know being here in Philadelphia and covering the Eagles closely, they do a ton of research into the guys they bring in. Mm-hmm. And an organization like the Seahawks, one of the best organizations in the league, they certainly do it as well. So, not a great situation overall. I think ultimately when it comes to signings, the owner always has the final say. But mm-hmm. look, Schneider there in Seattle has a lot of pull. This isn't a new GM. He's won a Super Bowl. So I think both take the blame for this one.
What would have been maybe a story that would have gotten some more traction, and maybe it will still get some traction, I'm not sure, thanks to the comments from Sean Payton, head coach of the Saints, was former Steeler All-Pro defensive end James Harrison saying in a podcast yesterday that his head coach, still current head coach, Mike Tomlin of the Steelers, gave him an envelope after his crushing concussion-inducing hit on Browns wide receiver Muhammad Massaquai back in 2010. Harrison's exact words were, "The G-est thing Mike Tomlin ever did, he handed me an envelope after that hit." Now, he did cage it because he never said what was in the envelope. And today he's doing some backtracking. I see on somebody linked a story where he actually is commenting on Instagram saying, "You're comparing what I said to Bountygate? Mike T has never paid me for hurting someone or trying to hurt somebody." So then why do you come out and insinuate that? And like all these years later, like this is just the weirdest story, even more weird than the armed robbery story to me.
Yeah, which is really saying something. I mean, look, I'm sure the NFL is probably not happy with either of these stories, mm-hmm. but I would wonder if deep down the fact that, you know, Harrison seems to, I know he's clarified his comments, but the fact that now the discussion is, you know, was this another Bountygate? Was Tomlin paying for players to, you know, lay hits on other guys? The NFL is probably almost more worried about that than the DeAndre Baker thing. The DeAndre Baker thing is a legal situation, yep. right? I mean, that's going to handle itself. The NFL will, you know, presumably punish him if these allegations are true. That's kind of cut and dry, as weird as that sounds. The Harrison thing is a little more complicated, right? Because if you're sure. the NFL, you look into it, right? This is a long time ago. Is it worth looking into? Does it become a bigger thing? Do other players come out now? I mean, if, you know, James Harrison has since walked it back, and, you know, I think Mike Tomlin has earned the right to kind of get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to this. He's mm-hmm. been one of the best head coaches in the league and certainly seems like a class act. I haven't interacted with him a ton. But with the times I have, he's always been, you know, a great guy. So I would find it hard to believe he would do that. But the NFL now has to ask themselves, is this something we're going to look into? And that's a complicated question, especially with everything going on right now.
Particularly when you have Sean Payton, the Saints head coach, who was suspended for what the NFL yeah. said was his role in Bountygate. He's on radio yesterday, was asked about it, and he didn't hold back. He's like, "Yeah, I'm sure they'll just tuck it under the rug, you know, and not really look into it. Don't get me started." So, like, that alone breathes life into this thing, whether it's a credible story from James Harrison or not.
Yeah, well, on a day when we're talking about shocking things, Sean Payton complaining about the way the NFL is doing something is probably the least shocking, right?
That is a very, I'm not surprised. Very fair point.
That's true. I'm not surprised he's less than thrilled on it. But, again, we'll see. I mean, the NFL has to decide. And I really think this does depend on if other people come out. I mean, if this – and, you know, I don't think it was. But let's just say this is something that was happening. If James Harrison comes out and says it, you wonder if other guys will feel comfortable enough to do it as well.
Yep, we're talking with Elliot Shore Parks, radio.com NFL insider, also covers the Philadelphia Eagles for WIEP in Philly, and host of the Go Birds pod. You're a busy man. I'll get to the Eagles in a second, but I want to start with the in-state team, the Titans. Ryan Tannehill leads them on a tear last year after taking over the starter week 7. They score tons of points. Nobody can or wants to tackle Derrick Henry. They knock off the Patriots and the Ravens on the road both. Then they blow their chances to beat Kansas City and probably should have been playing in the Super Bowl. Yet Vegas only likes them for 8 wins. I feel a disconnect there. I think, and it looked to me, we had Mike Keith, the voice of the Titans, on yesterday. Like, this was a team that kind of found their stride in how they want to play. Are they a team on the come up, or is that last season seen more of a fluke?
It really depends on what you think of Ryan Tannehill to me. I mean, mm-hmm. look, as good as Derrick Henry was last year, how often do we see running backs carry teams multiple years in a row now, especially when you get as many touches as he does? Now, I do think one of the misconceptions with the Titans is that they weren't able to throw the ball. I mean, they really threw the ball to get a lead last year, and Derrick Henry carried him home. Mm-hmm. So if you think Ryan Tannehill can do it again, then, yeah, 8 wins is too low. I don't think Ryan Tannehill can do it again. I mean, he came in and he was great, but this was really the only time in his career he's been a proven franchise-type quarterback. So maybe he's found his home in Tennessee. Certainly was one of the more exciting teams to watch when he played well, so I hope he can do it again. But if I'm betting that over or under, I think 8 is right. I don't think this is a 10 or 11 win team.
Talking with Elliot Shore Parks, radio.com NFL insider, and he covers the Eagles for WIP. How excited are they in Philly? You guys had 10 draft picks. You got a deep ball threat that you needed, and then you get Jalen Hurts in round number 2. I know that was obviously a bit of a surprise given a recent contract extension for Carson Wentz. How's that being received in Philly by Carson and by the always reasonable Eagle fans?
Yeah, I don't know if excited is the word to use in terms of the fan reaction. I mean, riled up would certainly be it. Look, I mean, I've been covering this team for a long time. I've been covering the NFL for a long time. I can't remember a moment as shocking in the draft as when Jalen Hurts was announced as the 53rd overall pick. I mean, it's virtually unprecedented for Carson to be a Pro Bowl-type quarterback at 27 years old. For them to use a pick that high, I mean, it really hasn't happened in 20 years. And the best example, even way back when, you can think of as kind of Joe Montana and Steve Young, and they traded for him, so it's a little different. But you just generally don't see a team with a quarterback that young use such a high asset on the pick. Now, the question is, why did they do it? The Eagles have said they emphasize the backup quarterback position. Obviously, we saw what Nick Foles did for them. Mm-hmm. And they've also said that, you know, maybe they can put him on the field at the same time as Carson and do some Taysom Hill-type roles. I just don't think that's going to work. I don't believe in that. I think if you think Carson's good enough, let him go out there and be a quarterback. Run your offense. So I don't like the pick. Carson has said he liked it, that he likes the pick. I'm sure he doesn't deep down. Just a very weird decision by the Eagles.
And no doubt. In Philly, they are always watching what's happening in Dallas, particularly as it pertains to Dak Prescott's contract, what that's going to mean for the Cowboys. Yeah. They've been talking about a new deal for a year and a half and still no deal. They have until July 15th to complete one. Dallas has reportedly offered to make Dak the highest paid player in the league. And there are, I guess, hangups over the guaranteed money length of the deal. We all love drama in Dallas because they do it so well. Do you foresee any reason that this doesn't eventually get done?
It's a good question. I mean, look, if they get into the season, obviously once he's already franchise tagged, they can't do that. So the clock is ticking. I think it will ultimately get done because if I'm Dak, I don't want to risk it. I mean, Dak is in a great situation there in Dallas. Not only is he the face of probably the biggest team in the league from a marketing standpoint, he has some of the best role players around him. CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott, Michael Gallup. He has a lot of talent there. And I also think that Mike McCarthy, the upgrade from Jason Garrett to him might be the biggest upgrade in the league any team made at any position or head coach. So I think the Cowboys are going to be very good, and I think they'll pay him. But if I'm Dak, I want that guaranteed money now before I go into another season without a long-term deal.
Yeah, guaranteed money is it's the way to go if you can get it. Sticking with quarterbacks, let's keep with this theme. What did you make of the Packers ignoring some of their glaring needs and drafting a quarterback in the first round, Jordan Love? Aaron Rodgers is 35, same age basically when he was drafted and groomed as the heir apparent to Brett Favre. I know Rodgers is supposed to speak later today. I don't think he's met with the media. I'm not sure if he's done any armed robberies that they'll need to ask him about prior to that in that session today. But is the end in sight for Rodgers in Green Bay with this pick?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Now, I don't think it should be. I think Aaron Rodgers is still a very good quarterback. They were 13-3 last year. Maybe he's not playing at, you know, the all-pro Hall of Fame level he was 2 or 3 years ago, but he's still one of the top three quarterbacks in the league when he's at his best. I just don't like the idea of drafting somebody in the first round and acting like they're going to sit for 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it's just not going to happen. So if you're Aaron Rodgers, I think there's a good chance he's not on the Packers in a year. I think a trade is a possibility. One team I would look for is potentially the Los Angeles Rams, especially if the Jared Goff thing doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look at the specifics of his contract, but I think that's a potential landing spot. But ultimately, I also don't really like Jordan Love as a prospect. I don't think there's a huge difference between him and a guy like Jalen Hurts who you could have gotten in the second round. So I didn't like the player, and I didn't like the pick by the Packers.
Wrapping up with Elliot Shore Parks, radio.com NFL insider. Since we're talking quarterbacks, pretty high-profile one left New England, is now in Tampa Bay. Yeah. Does losing Tom Brady, A, mark the end of the Patriots dynasty, and B, does his arrival in Tampa make the Bucs a serious contender in the NFC, which Vegas seems to feel now they are?
Yeah, I would say yes to both questions. When you look at the Patriots I mean, come on, Jared Stidham as their quarterback. Like that's not the answer there. That division is improving. I think the Buffalo
Matt.
Bills.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I'm a Patriots fan, Elliot, so
this
I'm just sitting here just groaning.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to break it to you. Your reign of being the best team in sports for the last 15 years might have finally come to an end.
Well, so 20, but who's splitting hairs?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. 20, but who's counting? So, no, I just don't believe in the quarterback. And ultimately, as good as Bill Belichick is, and he's obviously the best coach of all time, if you don't have a good quarterback, you're not going to win. So I don't look at them as legitimate contenders. I don't even like Josh Allen, but I think, you know, the Bills are probably the best team in that division, and the Jets will improve as well. So it's a very tough division. And then, you know, we just talked about Dak and having weapons around him. Tom Brady must feel like he died and went to heaven.
Yeah.
Because now he goes, he has Mike Evans, you know, all those weapons around him. And look, you would know as a Patriots fan, and you would probably agree with me, I think Tom Brady was much better last year than people give him credit for. He certainly, you know, wasn't amazing, but I think if you put weapons around him, if you give him a better offensive coaching staff, I think he'll be very good. So I think the Bucs are one of the best teams of the NFC heading into next year.
Yeah, I would agree with your assessment. You know, what are you supposed to do when the only guy you got in the team is Julian Edelman? You know, you don't have him to stretch the field. You don't have Gronk as your tight end, who now, by the way, he has again in Tampa. So that'll be interesting. We'll be watching. Hey, I really appreciate your time. Enjoyed it today, Elliot. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. Talk to you soon.
That was NFL insider Elliot Shore Parks. Insider calls are brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podfriends podcast series, available on radio.com/Dell.
I'm sorry about your Pats, bro.
Oh, man, he's not a believer. Jared Stidham. I'm all on board.
Like, you are lying to yourself, Matt.
What are my options? Like, I'm not supposed to be on board with Stidham?
You don't have any.
You got to back your dog, right?
I guess. I mean, I was surprised they didn't draft another quarterback.
I'm glad I didn't tell them I had the Patriots going 11-5. 10-6 at worst.
Wait a minute. So their quarterback options, or they just have two quarterbacks at this point?
No, that's incorrect. We have Stidham. We have veteran backup Brian Hoyer.
I forgot about Hoyer.
And we got a couple dudes that signed as undrafted free agents that everybody loves. They're like, this should have been drafted.
Of course.
So, like, one of those two, I don't even know their names. They're probably awesome, though.
Hoyer.
You know, you let Bill coach him up a little bit, and I see, like I said yesterday, Wolf of Wall Street, the train goes on, party doesn't stop, the show rolls on. This show will roll on, and we'll catch up with the co-host of this very show, John Martin. We'll do that next.
The Jason and John Show.
The Bella Twins. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
I'm an uncle to twins. Should I expect them to stay as tight as you two have through the years?
They definitely will be like that. We actually were laughing because, you know, we've been in quarantine together, and we've been in quarantine for almost 9 weeks.
Yeah.
And this is the first time in our lives, one argument in 9 weeks.
Thank you for that.
Aw, thank you, guys.
The Jason and John Show. Weekdays 11 till 2 p.m. 92.9 is helping Memphis stay connected.
Hey, it's Eric Castleton from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
Are you a man who needs to restock your closet, update your wardrobe, dress properly and impressively for that new job interview? If so, this is Gary Parrish reminding you that we have one of the best clothing stores in America right here in Memphis. It's James Davis in the Laurel Woods Shopping Center. It's where I shop. It's where you should be shopping as well. James Davis was closed down for 5 weeks because of the COVID-19 pandemic, but it has now reopened, and the semi-annual sale is starting early. So James Davis has an incredible selection of suits, sport coats, shorts, knit shirts, casual pants, and soft-touch denim. The entire spring selection is now 20 to 30% off. And the Stant custom shirts that I've been telling you about for a while, the ones I wear when I have to get dressed up for TV, they're 20% off the month of May. Paul Bettinelli suits are still two for $7.95. And if you need a face mask, James Davis has designer masks from some of the finest fabrics. They look super sharp. And check this out. For every mask sold in the month of May, James Davis will donate 10 meals to the Mid-South Food Bank. It's never been more important to shop local than it is right now. So shop local. Shop at James Davis on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Fridge had enough after the extra action in the house these last several weeks? Now you have an excuse to get the new one you've been wanting. Lowe's can help with up to 40% off select appliances during our appliance savings event, including an LG side-by-side refrigerator for $12.99. With a generous amount of space, you'll have even more room to store your family's favorites. Get it fast by ordering at Lowe's.com or via our app. Best part? We're offering 12-month special financing and free delivery. Offers valid through 6-3. Free local delivery and credit applies to appliances $2.99 or more. Subject to credit approval. Exclusions apply. U.S. only.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
I'm going to let Jimmy get us in the weekend mood for a minute. It is Margaritaville today.
It's not Khaled, but it's fine, right?
Yeah. No, I'm a big Buffett guy.
Okay.
I love it. Jimmy Buffett carrying us on along this. It is. There's no doubt about it. We are at Friday. We are joined by John Martin, co-host of the Jason and John Show, which you're listening to now and you listen to every day from 11 to 2. John, you feeling rested, recharged, relaxed after a full 24 hours off of radio?
Not quite. probably going to need a little, the good thing about working in the intercom, man, is we get a lot more than two vacation days, and I plan on taking every single one of them. So,
there you go.
Maybe after I'm finished, we can have this conversation.
I understand. Yeah, well, I hope you enjoy today and the weekend. You got any plans? You getting out, laying low? What's on the agenda?
I mean, there's really not much to do right now.
Gibson's is open. You can go stand in line at 5 in the morning. The zoo's open. We got that drive-in is now open. Like, things are popping off.
I guess you're right. I mean, things are slowly opening back up. But, no, I mean, I think I'll probably just lay low and kick it at the house, maybe have some friends over. But that's probably about it.
Socially distanced with those friends. I got you. Hey, I've discovered something over the last 2 days now, John, and hear me out here. I've determined it is a hell of a lot more work to host a 3-hour sports talk show when there are no sports going on, as opposed to hosting that same show when there are sports going on. In your experiences, has that been the case? Am I correct in that assessment?
Yeah, we do this every year. It's called summer.
Right.
It's just, summer came early.
Yes.
This year. So it really hasn't, I mean, the challenge has been, striking a balance, man, and everybody's out of their routine and,
yeah.
you're trying to be as optimistic, and you're trying to be, cause people don't want to tune into a radio show and feel sad. So I think, obviously the news I think is getting better. So it's easier to do that, now than it was, say, this time 2 months ago, certainly 1 month ago. I think the toughest thing is not having sports. I mean, I don't think, I think Jason and I can get through. It's just, the hard part of it is, you're trying to entertain while in your own sort of mind, you're nervous too, So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the most difficult part.
Well, the good news is by Monday, you will have sports. NASCAR is back on Sunday. Do you anticipate a segment of you and Jason breaking down what happens at the Lady in Black, the track that is too tough to tame?
Unlikely. unlikely, yeah. Because I don't really believe there's much of an audience for that. But you know what? I'm sure somebody will on our station. It just won't be us.
I understand 100%. Let's jump into what there is a known audience for. That would be Tiger basketball. People are always ready for that. It is decision day today for DeAndre Williams, or 6'9 transfer from Evansville. He is considering, among others, Memphis, Arkansas, Baylor. Kentucky wasn't a mix. Apparently now they're not. And it sounds like, if I'm reading everything correctly, John, that Memphis is a leader in the clubhouse, and it's just a matter of at what point today is he announcing that he's going to be a Tiger.
Yeah, I expect that's going to come probably 2 hours from now.
Okay.
Two hours, give or take. Probably around three. And he's going to Memphis. It's one of those things where it's like, Memphis is playing a really high-stakes game in the sense that, they're two of their three best players the next season are tied up in waivers.
Yep.
Landers Molly, and then, of course, DeAndre Williams. Now, you can make a case that DeAndre Williams should get a waiver, right? Like, he should be able to get a waiver because his coach got fired in the middle of the year. He was hurt. He's already sat out. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. But there are just no guarantees, man.
Yeah.
There are no guarantees when you're dealing with the NCAA, and this is really where playing James Wiseman last year is going to come back because, although the NCAA can say, we're not going to take that into consideration when we're determining, whether or not we give you a waiver, they're not going to do you any favors.
Yeah.
If your case isn't ironclad, then you're not going to get the waiver. I don't think Landers Nolley is getting the waiver. I just don't really think he's got much of a case, frankly, for immediate eligibility based on sort of, what the rule is. I mean, he's, yes, his coach left, but he played the season after, with the new coach, and he led the team in scoring, So I just don't really believe, if Lance Thomas couldn't get the waiver and Rick Pitino got fired, why would Landers Nolley get a waiver when – he played for the new coach and had decent success. I just don't really see that. I mean, maybe I'll be surprised, but I just don't really have very high hopes. DeAndre Williams, obviously, I think there's a much better shot of that just based on, circumstances with Walter McCarty and all of that. But, holding out hope for the NCAA to do you favors, probably is not going to end well for Memphis.
Right. And for those that aren't aware, so it was Walter McCarty, his head coach, who was fired after a sexual misconduct investigation. And then the interim head coach was passed over, and they hired somebody else midseason, which was this was wild to me. So he played for Williams, played for three coaches in 1 year, which obviously is quite unusual. What normal people, you and I, Brad, might think would help him in the eyes of the NCAA, as you mentioned, who the hell knows what the NCAA is thinking? And in particular, when it lands on their desk, they're like, oh, Memphis, why is that ringing a bell with us? Why does Memphis, right. Like last year's situation, I certainly don't think that helps. It'll be interesting to see how it can, and it'll go.
Helps.
Because this kid, from what I've seen, John, and you would know better than I, talking to people and whatever, he can play. He can really play.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his numbers are really, really good. I put out a stat that's kind of confusing, but bear with me. He was the only player in college basketball last year to average 27 or more minutes a game, to average a rebound rate of 15 or more a game. And what a rebound rate is for every 100 available rebounds, he pulls down 15 of them, which is really good. He had an assist rate of 28%, with 28% of the time available assists, he had one. And he shot 65% from the field, basically. So, this guy is a talented player. Now, there are questions about his health. He missed the last, 14, 15 games of the year, with a back injury. So that's going to be a question. But, for Memphis, it's one of those things where it makes sense. It's a gamble. It makes sense to enroll a guy like that, because if he's healthy and he gets the waiver, then he's going to really help you. He had 37 against Miami, Ohio. I mean, the team was 9-9 with him, 0-14 without him. So he made a big difference on that Evansville team, even though he only had 9 against Kentucky. The issue is just, which is where, when you don't get Jalen Green, you don't get Greg Brown, you have to bank on
waivers being passed, like Landers and DeAndre. So, you know, I give Memphis credit because they really cobbled together a pretty nice class. Like, I mean, these two guys are impact players. It's just a matter of, like, can they get eligible? You know, that's the problem. Yeah. I mean, those guys, I mean, when you add Landers Nolly and DeAndre Williams to a team, I mean, that's as good of an addition as anybody in the country has made this year. I mean, I truly believe that. Like, just on paper, those guys' abilities, I mean, you got a guy, I mean, you got two guys who averaged 15 points a game in Division I last year, right? I mean, one guy, in Landers Nolly was, you know, one of the, I believe, one of maybe two freshmen ever in Virginia Tech history to lead the team in scoring. No, he's not a real freshman, but he's still technically a freshman. And then DeAndre Williams, you know, again, averaged 15 points a game. So you're bringing in 30 points, proven, at the Division I level. I don't think anybody else in the country is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will Memphis, again, ever see that 30 points a game? I am very skeptical, but I think even just getting one of those guys eligible would make a big difference.
Talking with John Martin, you know who we're talking to, host of the Jason and John Show. Earlier in this week, when you guys had on Keelan Lawson, a couple interesting things struck me from those interviews, and particularly your follow-up comments with Jeff Calkins, I guess it was the next day, that Penny has apparently making some sort of pivot, or at least the realization that chasing all these five stars and guys that have options to play overseas, whatever, it ties up a lot of time, a lot of resources, and when you don't get them, you know, you're left then kind of like, oh, man, should I have invested all that in that? And by now, and making more of a concerted effort to get after guys that are, in basketball terms, a slam dunk, a Jonathan Lawson, players like that. Kind of take over from what you were talking about, that, because I thought that was really fascinating and maybe a new wave of reality for Penny and how he's going to do some recruiting. Not all, because I understand he's still going to go for who.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.